Hello and welcome to the Lost Skills Podcast, where we believe if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. Today's episode is episode 33. And before I get in the main topic of the show, I'd like to make an announcement. I do believe that I'm going to go out and get my own personal website for the show. I'm just not all that impressed with the service I've been getting from Podbean. Not that there's anything wrong with the hosting or anything. As far as I know, I haven't had any problems there, but things I want to do that I can't do, like set up another page for like links and resources and stuff like that, I can't do here. So if I wanted to buy another website, why not just move my show and everything? So my question is for everybody out there, if you built your own website and you have any tips or pointers, send me an email or get a hold of me on my Facebook page and let me know there are some questions that I have that I'm not really sure have been answered clear. So if you have designed your own website and stuff using like HostGator, just drop me a line and let me know what your thoughts are. I've never built a website before, but I guess I can. If I can figure out how to do a podcast and set it up for you guys every week, I should be able to figure out how to do a website. I'm just worried about setting up the feeds and stuff. I'm not quite sure how to do things like that yet. So if anybody has any experience, again, let me know. And another thing that kind of upsets me is that I can't actually go out and get a sponsor without any written permission from Podbean or anything like that. They want me to go through a program with them where they can insert commercials into my podcast, and I have no control over who gets a commercial in my podcast or anything like that. And I don't think that's fair for you guys because it wouldn't be someone that I actually endorse. Who knows who it could be. And if I ever take the time to recommend something on here, it's something that I truly do like. I won't do it just because I'm getting paid to do it or anything like that. I guess I just didn't really know any better when I signed up for Podbean. I had stuff to say and I wanted to get it said and didn't know how to build a website, so they gave me an easier option and now I actually regret it. And the other part is I actually want my own domain name so that you could just type in like the Lost Skills Podcast or something like that and go right to my site. But anyways, enough of me bitching. I guess I'd like to say hi to all the newer listeners out there. I've been noticing that the numbers are going up just a little bit, not a whole lot, but people are finding the show and they must be liking what they're listening to. And I don't really have a whole lot of links or anything directing people to my website, and when I get my website put up, then I want to send some links so it'll be easier for people to find this. But again, for those of you that did, thank you for finding the show and thanks for sticking around and listening to what I have to say. I don't usually complain at the beginning of the show, so this is kind of a rare thing. Let's see. The other news that I have is I was working on my snowplow truck. Thank God that it hasn't really been snowing here too much. I think we got maybe a total of a couple inches of snow and half of it melted yesterday. And then it snowed another inch, so probably still back at 2 inches, but I got my plow truck all put together and put a new intake and carburetor on it because the one I had was leaking and a rebuild kit was like $100. So I got the truck all done and I started up and the carburetor leaked. Well, I had to pull it out of the garage and work on another car. So I pulled it back in because I had ordered some gaskets, and then all of a sudden I looked at the carburetor and a different part of the carburetor's leaking, so I have to order some more gaskets for the other one. It's like, oh God, is this thing ever going to end? The only bummer with owning a Holley carburetor up here in northeast Wisconsin is that nobody around here actually stocks parts for Holley, so I had to go right through Summit Racing to get the gaskets I needed. The nearest place I could have went and got the gaskets in Shawano, which is about a 65-mile drive from my house, so it would have cost more than the $5 it cost for Summit to ship the gaskets to me from where they're at, so I just went that route. Only bummer is I wish I would have just got both of them right away because I could have saved a little bit of money on the shipping. But hopefully that gasket will get here by Friday and I can get my carburetor all together and everything will be all good again. Some other news is I've been contemplating building my own tractor for like plowing and putting a chisel plow behind and stuff, and I've been thinking about it. And I found some plans on the internet from someone that built a trailer with car parts back in like the 60s. In the magazine Mechanics Illustrated, so I've been thinking about how to adapt those plans to current car parts, because the parts they used were from a Model T, I think it was, or a Model A, one of the two. If the basic frame and everything would be the same, just how to modify the parts to do what I need them to do. And that's another thing I'd like to put on my website, is maybe a neat little projects page, and then like people can submit projects that they put up and they could be on the page and everything. So it'd kind of be a nice little area to share what we've all done, and we can get some ideas of what to build from each other. So I think that's pretty much it for the personal news that I have going on with me. And I'm going to try to do a few minutes at the beginning of every podcast talking about some of the projects that I'm working on. Just the little things, because that's what friends do. They talk about the little projects they got going on around their houses and stuff. You know, like when you're at work and you're chit-chatting with someone. That's what friends do. They talk about what they got going on. So I'm going to try to make sure I do a little bit more of that here. So, and finally, on to today's episode, which is building hot and cold frames. Now, with spring being pretty close, I think it's like 10 weeks now, I figured maybe this is a good time to talk about building a hot or a cold frame a little bit. You never know, you might want to build one and get a garden started this year, or you might be like me, and not have a lot of room for starting everything inside the house and want to build one for outside. It's one of the many projects I'm thinking about getting on, but I got some other stuff in the way first. I would like to build a raised bed, and I'm going to build a kind of modular system for that, and I'll showcase that here and tell everybody about it. But that's part for a different episode. So first, let's start with, why would you want to build a cold frame? What a cold frame is a transparent roofed enclosure built low to the ground and used to protect plants from cold weather. The transparent top admits sunlight and prevents heat escape via convection that would otherwise occur, particularly at night. Essentially, a cold frame functions as a mini greenhouse to extend the growing season. One of the things you do with a cold frame is, once you get your seeds started and you get them going really good, you can take them out to the cold frame to harden them off so that they don't die right away when you place them in your garden. And at the end of the season, you can extend your growing season just a little while longer with a cold frame. Not really as long as a hot frame, which we'll talk about in a minute, but a cold frame is basically unheated. Now, a hot frame is basically the same as a cold frame. They're actually very similar in construction. The only difference being, a hot frame is somewhere that's heated, and you can actually just start the seeds right in the hot frame and never take them out and put them in the cold frame. And you can extend your growing season a real long while, which, basically, think of a hot frame as kind of like a very miniature greenhouse. Now, are there going to be a few things you need to determine before you start building a hot or a cold frame, which is what size you want it to be, and then what materials you have on hand to build it. A lot of people will build them out of windows, so that determines what size that a hot or cold frame is going to end up being. You can build them out of old patio doors. Any kind of glass you can get your hands on, you can build this out of. And a lot of times you don't even need glass. You can just get clear plastic and you can use that for a cover for your cold frame. Also, you could use plexiglass, or you could use the transparent plastic roof panels and stuff like that. The sky is the limit when you're building something like this. A lot of times I like to go with what is free. So after you've determined the size of your frame, you build the frame out of 2x4s and some plywood, and then you can attach your windows to the top, and you want to slant it at an angle to help catch the cold winter sun. I haven't really read anything about what angle it is, but I'm guessing it would probably be like a 30-degree angle. And you want it to be a couple feet off the ground so that you have some room for your plants to grow up and stuff. So you want it to be fairly deep. Now, the difference between a hot and a cold frame is a hot frame is heated somehow. So what you want to do is, if you're going to use like manure that's breaking down, or like compost that's composting, you'll want to dig a pit underneath the hot frame and then use that composting action to heat the hot frame. Also, I've been kind of tinkering around with the idea of maybe using a little bit of charcoal in some coffee cans, or maybe a 5-gallon pail full of charcoal that's just kind of smoldering, and then cut a hole in the lid and run it out the side for the exhaust for the smoke or something to keep it heated. But we'll talk about how to heat it in a little bit. Now, where I think I would differ from the building of a hot and a cold frame would be, in a hot frame, I would want it insulated, but I could see where you would get the benefit of insulating it if it was a cold frame also. But insulated or non-insulated, it doesn't really matter. Just kind of remember you're doing this to extend your season a little bit. You're not trying to grow tomatoes in Wisconsin in January. You're just trying to get a little further on after the last frost. And now for a hot frame, let's talk about some heat sources. There are many ways you can heat a hot frame. The first one would be propane. You could get a small little propane convection heater, or you could get a small like Mr. Buddy heater, and you could put it in there and run it off a 20-pound tank. And you could probably run it for weeks like that on a 20-pound tank. I know up in my deer stand, I can run my Big Buddy heater on a high for a whole week, and I'll still not go through a 20-pound tank, so you should last a long time if you got a smaller heater than that. Now, the next way you could heat it was to be building a little wood stove with a little stack coming out of your hot frame, and you could use that to keep your plants warm, but it would be a lot easier to control it if you're using propane, because wood is very uncontrollable unless you have it set at a very, very low burn, and then your chimney will creosote up. But it won't really matter because it's not your house. Now, right along with the wood, there's charcoal. And I have been thinking about this, but I haven't been thinking in charcoal the sense that you probably are thinking about it. You can use charcoal briquettes. I'm sure they would work just fine. But I was actually thinking about using some of the coals out of my wood stove, because I have an outdoor wood stove and it makes a lot of charcoal in the bottom of the stove, and just shoveling it into a 5-gallon pail and setting that in the hot frame to keep everything warm. And I'll have to do a few experiments with this to see how exactly it's going to work out, but I think it might not be a bad idea. Now, the next way to do it would be to use a rocket mass heater, which also would use wood, or you could probably adapt it and make one with a propane burner, then you'd shut it off after a while. But a rocket mass heater uses a lot less wood or charcoal or any other fuel than a regular one, because after you shut it off, the mass part of the stove, which is usually ground or any kind of material that'll hold heat, will start releasing its heat over the course of hours and keep everything a lot warmer. But I think if I was going to use a rocket mass heater, I would definitely have the exhaust for the rocket mass heater go underneath the hotbed and use the hotbed itself, the ground, as the mass for your rocket mass heater to help keep everything warm. Another thought I was thinking about was making a solar hot air heater, which is basically just a black box filled with a bunch of baffles and some plate glass on the outside. And when it gets warm, convection will take the hot air and push it into your hot frame. And then the cold air will come back in through the return, and it just keeps circulating using convection. I don't know how well this would work and how long it would work for, but it does kind of sound like a good idea because it would be nice and cheap and you wouldn't have to even worry about messing with it. Now, the next type of heat you could use isn't really any type of heater at all. It was the compost, like I mentioned before, which basically all you do is dig a pit about 2 feet deep or a foot deep underneath the bin, and you can fill it full of all kinds of organic matter. And as that matter breaks down, it'll release heat up through the bottom, and then your seeds and everything will stay nice and warm. The only problem is that it will cool off, and you will have to monitor it to make sure the temperature is staying up there. And another method to keep a hot frame warm is to use solar gain. You can actually just put some milk jugs painted black, or maybe some black 5-gallon pails inside of it, and the sun will warm that up, and that water will stay warm longer and release the heat during the nighttime. And I'm sure another way is if you want to take a light bulb, and then the only thing is that nighttime plants need to rest. They can't have sunlight for 24 hours, so that might mess up your growing of your plants. I'm not really sure on that, but a light bulb would work. So now let's talk about a little bit of insulation. You could build your hot frame and cold frame walls just like you would build the walls in a house, and then put insulation between and keep it warm that way. The other way would be to use a pink styrofoam like people put on the outsides of the basements. It's water resistant and it won't rot or nothing like that. So that would be a good choice for using a cold frame or hot frame too. So let's talk a little bit about where to find some of your materials. Good places to find some materials would be Craigslist. You can go in the free materials section there and you could find some materials, and maybe you just go to the regular materials section on Craigslist, And they usually have a lot of leftover building materials and stuff on there that's reasonably cheap. Another place you can go look is at Habitat for Humanity Restore. A lot of contractors and stuff, if they have extra windows and stuff like that, they drop them off there. Or even if they remove old windows of a house and they could still be serviceable, but they upgrade the houses, they take them there and then they donate them and people can buy them, and that helps Habitat for Humanity out. Another place you can find stuff is Freecycle. Freecycle is a good resource. A lot of times you can find people that are giving away old patio doors and stuff like that. A lot of people sometimes just want to clear their garages out and they're sick of having the mess around. And that's a good place to find like used 2x4s, you know, maybe some 2-foot pieces or some 3-foot pieces, you know, just some scrap that other people have laying around that they eventually figured out, hey, I'm not going to use. Usually anybody that works on a lot of projects and stuff has a lot of this stuff laying around, and then you get sick, you just can't keep it all. I know a lot of times I get pieces of 2x4 and stuff, and I just throw them in my outdoor wood boiler because I got a big stack of them up in the rafters already, so I don't really need any more. Another good place to find windows or doors like that or some pieces of wood or the side of the road, most of the times you'll find a lot of windows on the side of the road waiting for the recycling or the garbage pickup to come and take them. And a lot of times if you just go up to the house and ask, the people aren't going to care. They're getting rid of them to the garbage man anyway. But if you just want to go and stop and grab them, they probably wouldn't care either. But I always kind of make it a habit of making sure that they're junk and ask. Another good place to find a bunch of stuff is at yard sales. A lot of times you'll see windows really cheap at yard sales. And you'll see, you know, maybe some building materials and stuff there too. It's always a good place to pick up stuff. And also a lot of times if you're working on your house like I have been since I bought it, you'll be replacing windows, and that's a good place to get glass there. I had a huge picture window that I took out of my house, which was a double pane picture window, but it didn't open or anything. And this was like when we first got the house, and I just took it out and out by my dad's, and we put it out on a rock pile, and it got broke. And if I would have thought, I would have kept it because I would have been having a nice piece of glass now, and now I'm kind of screwed, and it really upsets me. But that just goes to show that you can't plan ahead for everything, because back at that time, I wasn't really gardening, and I didn't have a use for anything like that. But now that I've been taking windows out and stuff, I've been saving them, and I want to build myself a really nice big hot frame. Another way to get free window glass is to ask around at your work. A lot of times there's someone working on their house or something, and they'll be getting rid of the windows, and someone will bring a whole bunch of them in for you at free, and they'll be relieved because they didn't know what to do with them to get rid of them. And another way, I guess, would be to run an ad in a newspaper, or maybe a wanted ad on Craigslist, or on a local radio show. We have a radio show where in the area I'm at. It's called Swap Shop. And you can call in and put things you have for sale on Swap Shop. And a lot of times there's windows and doors and pieces of wood and all kinds of stuff. But you could put a wanted ad on a radio station like that. I think Swap Shop's like a couple hours long. And then they just leave their name and number and you call them up and you make a deal. But I think when I do build a hot frame, which is what I'm going to build, is I'm going to insulate it pretty good. I got some pink styrofoam left over from doing my basement. And I'm going to use that, and then I'm going to take and I got some windows free from somebody, and I'm going to screw the two windows together and make it. It's probably going to be about 4 feet long and about 3 feet deep. And I'm going to hinge it with a couple of old door hinges I got so that it'll flip open easy. And I might actually set it right next to the side of my garage so I get a little bit of heating effect from the cement block of my garage. But if I do build it up next to my garage, which eventually is the plan, is I'm going to hook my outdoor wood boiler into my garage, and I might actually just run a little loop from the outdoor wood boiler into it, and then have like a heater core from an S10 pickup or something in there with a little fan that turns on and off with a thermostat, and I can keep my hot frame running probably year-round. But for now, I'll probably just make my hot frame kind of sit out by my garden. And I'll probably scoop up a bucket of coal every once in a while and stick the coals in there and then just let it kind of smolder and keep everything nice and warm and heated. I'll have to do a few experiments with it to get it right, know how much air I can actually let in to let the coals burn. But that's just something you kind of got to play with. So I hope you all liked today's show on building a hot or a cold frame, and any feedback would be appreciated if you liked it or didn't like it, or if you have topics you want to suggest. Send me an email. It's always posted in the show notes what my email is so that people can get a hold of me. And if someone actually wants to do like a guest podcast or something, just get a hold of me and let me know, and I'll tell you what to do and what I need, and we can get you up there. I'm not an expert in everything, and nor do I claim to be. But I think this is a good place to end the show. So this is Jeff Radke signing off, and until next time, keep your stick on the ice.